Well, good morning, everyone, or I should say good afternoon, wherever you might be located. My name is Jim Conley, the Executive Marketing Manager for the Anatomy and Physiology List here at McGraw-Hill Education. And once again, as you guys know all the time, I am so excited to be here with you guys today, and there's a specific reason why. I'm on the phone with one of my favorite people on the planet, period, exclamation point, and I'm proud to tell each and every one of you that he is an award winner. And he also has, I think, the best name. I've talked to him a lot about this in the business, and I've always wanted to introduce him this way. We'll tell you what his short name is. But his name officially is Kashik Dutta. Kash, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So Kash actually teaches at the University of New England, and like I had mentioned, he just won a teaching award. So he won an award actually as Kash and his team at UNE, really led by Kash, won a DLI award for innovation. Now this award is for education faculty-led teams and institutions for advancing student success through the adoption of digital courseware. So Kash, this is a big deal. I know you've been working on this for a long time. Tell us a little bit about that award.
Yeah, so Jim, I saw this award, that's a Digital Learning Innovation Award. And at first I was not quite sure about it, so I started reading it. And the more I read, the courseware was the big emphasis on this award. And so I started looking at the list of courseware that the organization has put out, and I saw that McGraw-Hill Connect was included in the list. So that really attracted my attention to this award. And then I further investigated, and it really talking about how one has not only adopted the courseware but also implemented to meet some sort of challenge. And over the years, so it wasn't a short term, it's rather a long term investigation into courseware and how it has helped address some of the challenges that the faculty member had, and so that really got me started, and I got fired up in writing this award and application, which was certainly a good exercise into being introspective to do such a complete job in putting this award together.
Well, Kash, I know it was a long journey in terms of winning the award. What I love about it, at least from sitting on the sidelines, is you've been using Connect since 2009. So it's kind of like the icing on the cake. And I know there are a lot of our listeners that are award winners or are aspiring award winners. So if you were going to give them advice about winning this DLI Award for Innovation, what advice would you give them? Or maybe do you want to talk about like some of the challenges that you maybe faced while you're going through the award process?
Yeah, sure. So in their own words, the Online Learning Consortium, which was the Sloan Consortium, is hosting this Digital Courseware Award. And this is to really address student success. And they talked about the first generation, minority, underrepresented student, you know, inclusivity, those kinds of things they're looking for to fund. And underneath this award, this is the Gates Foundation's supported grant award to addressing, the learning part of digital courseware adoption. So the biggest challenge I had while I sat down to write this award is to figure out how do I articulate the use of technology, not just from the user perspective, but as an insider and expert. So it really conveys some meaning to the panel. And that was really challenging because, we often get into this habit of using digital courseware or digital technology or any piece of technology, and we use it, but often we kind of lose sight as to why we're using, how we're using, and if somebody asked me in some sort of details to describe my use, I had to really think hard about that. And so that was challenging. To put that in words and come up with a comprehensive idea of why I'm using Connect, how did I use Connect, and why did I choose Connect, and what are the results, for the long-term use of Connect.
Boy, that's excellent. And so what advice would you give somebody if they were going through this for the first time?
I would, my first advice would be to really know why you are using a piece of technology and be able to share your evaluation methods and process that you use to evaluate the technology, its efficacy, and share a story rather than a recipe. And that's really powerful. That's really important because it's the journey and the wisdom. I always say the wisdom is within the journey. So if you're doing the journey, you know, at the end you reflect back and say, "Wow, you know, I did it, but why did I do it in the first place?"
Boy, gosh, I love that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you another favor because you know me, I always like asking favors and I say, put it on my tab. I do that affectionately, as you know, which we'll maybe talk about that a little bit later. But what I was going to maybe do, Kash, for the audience is maybe we'll do a follow-up on this where we give you the chance to tell your story, you know, through the award process. And I think that would be really kind of a cool exercise for us to kind of go through and maybe mimic, you know, what you were asked to do specifically with the award. I think that would be kind of a fun thing because I'm thinking out loud here. I just did a podcast a couple weeks ago on storytelling, and I used the MHE happiness framework, which you've submitted your story, you know, in the past. But it's really kind of an important thing to really replicate your story to other people. So if you don't mind, let's do another follow-up podcast. I think the audience will like that quite a bit too.
Okay.
Deal?
Deal. That's a deal.
All right. So let me ask you
that. That in essence will capture the entire award.
Yeah. And then they could do like a copy paste on the award.
Right.
Especially if they're using Hull's Human AMP and Connect Anatomy and Physiology like you are.
Yeah. And the list of courseware was very extensive. So I'll tell you, Jim, before we move forward, there were some very strict criteria for courseware definition. So in OLC's courseware definition, a courseware is a learning platform or assessment or suite of technology that has been scoped and assessed by experts in the field. So that was important, you know, to know what the definition of the courseware was. So is Blackboard a courseware? No. You know, that did not meet the qualification. So they were very specific in terms of telling us, you know, what sort of technology met the courseware criteria and what didn't.
Boy, yeah, and I could totally see that where, you know, courseware is kind of a broad term when you think about it, but really narrowing it down and being more specific is important, especially for an award and for the award to carry the prestige, you know, that it does with the DLI. I think that's great.
And they were interested in scalability, so that was a very important part of this as well.
Oh, that's great. So, Kash, tell me, how long have you been teaching anatomy and physiology?
Oh, God. I knew you would ask me that, Jim. I started, you know, with a summer course, believe it or not, in 2003. So, and then I started teaching in a summer course, and then I taught some labs here and there, and then I got more serious into 2009, and then, you know, 2010, we moved on to the large class model. And prior to 2010, I actually designed a junior version of ANP, and I called it human biology. So I was doing that from, I would say, 2004, 2005, up until 2010. And so in 2010, we switched over to a large class model with mixed majors, and since then I've been teaching ANP.
That's awesome. And so when you look back on your career since 2003 to now, what is the thing that excites you the most, either about teaching anatomy and physiology, or you can go down the path of teaching ANP in general, or teaching in general? What would it be for you?
You know, so that's a great question, Jim. It's not like there are many terms to describe, you know, like faculty getting career fatigue and whatnot, you know, post-tenure fatigue. There's all kinds of terms for that. You know, the exciting piece for me that I came from a lab environment, research environment, where I was always tinkering with something. Whether it worked or not, I still tinkered. So that kind of led to something more exciting. And it's sort of, it's a self, you know, sort of a self-indulgence in that sense. And so I kept that spirit in my teaching, and that certainly excites me. Because what I see, when I see teaching, if I kind of did the same thing every day and didn't really quite engage into the newer things that are especially happening at a lightning speed, I might just fall short. And so that fear of falling short or not giving the best or, you know, not exploring enough of new ways to teach keeps me always kind of excited. So in other words, you know, I kind of try to self-excite with the newer technology. Whether I'm going to use it or not, I still explore it to see if there's any possibility.
And that sounds like the words from an award winner if I've ever heard it. Okay, so we're going to do a little bit of a rapid fire. We're going to switch gears over to the McGraw-Hill Connect program. Okay. So what is your favorite, you know, technology piece within our umbrella that you use and why?
You know, Jim, I use most of the tools within Connect platform, and I'll tell you why. And I haven't quite given a label of favorite because I think each one of them fills in a particular need in the process of learning. So I try to engage the student through a series of these, groups of technology within Connect. And as a result, what I look at it is that as a sum total of Connect platform, and if I were to really choose my favorite, I would say that I would go with the interactive homework just past the LearnSmart. And part of the reason is that the interactive homework gets them to really get into the figures within the textbook. And it gives them a little up-close view of those figures that I use in the class. So sometimes students get lost in figures, but these figures are turned into some kind of an assessment, which then helps them to really connect with the figures within the textbook. And I think that makes sense.
Boy, that's awesome. So speaking of technology, you've been using it for a long time. Yes. If you're going to pass along maybe three things, or if you want to limit it to one, you can, but what are three technology best practices that you think might be beneficial either to somebody who's brand new, you know, using digital for the first time, or possibly for that technology veteran to maybe reconsider?
Okay. So I don't have to do just one. I have three for you, Jim, today.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Okay. So here it goes, okay? So my simple rule for technology is that if I don't understand, I cannot expect my students to understand or have a good experience. Okay, I don't believe it. I don't believe in the whole statement of turn it on, let the students do it. I just don't think that's the right way to approach technology. So I try to go by what's called keep it simple, especially in implementation, and for your students to use. So that's number one. Number two is, you know, if you're going to use technology, you should know, no matter how, at what level, but you should know to some extent as to why you're using, which will allow you to keep it transparent and be able to share meaningful data and create engagement for your students. That's important because otherwise, they don't know why they're using, and you kind of know why you're using, but you're never going to reach the full potential of that technology. The third one is keep them engaged with a variety of tools within the tech platform. So that's where McGraw-Hill Connect, you know, does such a wonderful job, is that you don't have one thing to turn on to the students. You have different ways you can use the Connect platform. You have different tools within the platform. So you can do a pre-lecture assessment. You can do a post-lecture assessment. You can give them interactive things. You can even start doing some in-class discussion about some of the questions from Connect. So there's many ways you can engage students within the platform itself. So I think those are my three advice that I'm putting out today. Maybe they will change tomorrow, but today I'm sticking by these three.
Awesome. Well, I know a lot of times on this podcast, I like talking about the positive. That's where I generally center myself, but we can learn from things that didn't work out very well. So what would be like that one method of helping a student that you thought was just going to be the next award-winning thing, and it just didn't work out very well?
You know, I have been searching for a way to keep a really large class, you know, and I'm not talking thousands, I'm talking, you know, 100, 125 students, but still, it can get really big. It's a big group still for one instructor to lecture at a time. And so keeping those 100-something students really engaged and interested during the lecture process is always challenging. And, you know, flipped classroom works in certain environment, but with a multi-major, multi-expertise, you know, preparations and other kinds of variability, you know, I have not been very successful in figuring out a way to break out and do some face-to-face small group in that discussion in that large classroom with a, you know, fairly sizable group of students. But what I discovered that, you know, so that was my big challenge, and I tried that, you know, putting out some paper, you know, worksheets or something like that to get them engaged. But it didn't really work out the way I envisioned. So what I do now is I would extract some image, or even I go to Connect to the resources to look through, you know, other titles and see there if there are some interactive questions or things like that nature. And I put it up on the screen, and then I would allow the students to have a group discussion, and then I will take their sort of a discussion on a digital platform. So I use a social media platform, Q&A called Piazza, and that really works well because then we can have threaded discussion with some polls. So I kind of do mix and match now. So I still try to do an in-class small group discussion, but then what they are thinking goes into a digital platform as a record keeping and kind of looking back.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, so yeah, I kind of use, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I like how you really like modified that. And I know there's a lot of different, you know, technologies out there that might help with, you know, engaging in lecture, but I really like the way you kind of modified that as you went along.
Yeah, so I kind of kept the old school idea of this, you know, they're going to be healthcare professionals, and if they don't know how to talk to each other, then we have a problem. So I kind of approach it from that sense. And I'm, you know, and I asked them to do very hands-on. Like, for example, we did skeletal, we started skeletal chapter today, and the first thing I had them do is really just turn to their neighbor and some palpate for some bone, and come up with the classification of bones that they are palpating. And then I asked them to put down those examples on the digital threaded discussion. And as they kind of started typing it in, then we have something to talk about in class. And then I can extend that discussion from there on. So I take their own words, and then I turn them into more of a discussion point during the class.
Well, Kosh, what you can't see is I'm giving you a big high five here. Because it's not always about digital. I think that's one of the things that's a misnomer out there is that, you know, publishing companies are all about the digital, and we've really made, you know, a lot of noise about that. And certainly that's in a valid area that we want to go. But I love the fact that you did that with your students, getting that kinesthetic learning, you know, palpating the bone. I mean, that's just awesome. And I think the more we can blend things like that in with the digital and all the other things, it's really the best case scenario as I see it.
Yes, I totally agree. I mean, that, you know, you have to, I mean, that is the, I feel like that is the most valuable experience they can have in the classroom with the professor, you know? So I'm not just a mouthpiece, you know, saying just regurgitating facts and figures and whatnot. But I see my role as more engaging them in the learning process, and then turn them into more of a self-propelled learners.
Well, how about let's switch gears over to the lab. So what software do you use for the laboratory?
So I use, for my lab, I do a proprietary software through AD instrument called Cura Cloud. And it evolved slowly because I am a stickler for doing human physiology. And I kept it going. And I figured, you know, these people are going to become going into health profession. So they need to, you know, record and analyze and see an ECG for themselves. And so that's kind of my motivation to keep doing hardware, software, and actual recording. So ADI was the instrumentation of choice, and we, you know, we made that investment a long time ago. And their software evolved over time. So it was first, you know, as usual, the PDFs, and then it was a server-based, and now they switched over to cloud. And so Cura Cloud is the latest edition of that software. But not only that, the really important part of it is that Cura Cloud is now a very flexible authoring platform. So I can really write and modify and customize labs as I see fitting and how I want to teach the students. So here's a great example where I blend in Connect content into the lab content so that there's a continuum between for example, APR or Phil into the lab learning.
Love that. And the AD instruments people, they are just awesome too. So do you talk a lot with Wes?
Yeah, well, I do. Wes has now moved on, but I have, you know, I keep touch with the all of the folks in Colorado and some folks in New Zealand. So I've been in a continual discussion with the, and I've, you know, tried to give them meaningful feedback on the product and development. And, you know, we're tinkering with the possibilities within Cura Cloud and how to make it a really nice, not only a student from a student experience, but also from faculty experience, how to use it.
Yeah, that's it's great. Sorry to hear about Wes, man. He was a great guy. I'll have to look him up, see where he went. But he's a great guy.
And I know that, you know, even within McGraw-Hill, you know, some of the contents are going to be, you know, like flexible content that can be, you know, kind of leveraged in certain ways. And so for the APR, for example, all my students have access to APR. So, you know, like the still images are important for them to look at before they actually go use the full program. So this allows me to bring some of those still images to convey what they're looking at, and then they can go and explore it in the full APR program.
It's a great use of both technologies. All right, so Kash, I'm going to give you three last questions here because I know you're pressed for time. Why is teaching anatomy and physiology, from your perspective, why is it an honor?
That's a big question, but I'll try to give you a more of a simple answer here, Jim. I think from my perspective, to be a teacher, you know, you want your students to succeed. And so I always end up telling the students that the only ingredient I need from you is this wanting to learn or enthusiasm for learning. And if you have that ingredient, one simple ingredient, then I will provide all the tools for you to be successful. And so when I push these students, and some of them start off slow, and when I push them, and they say, oh, he's so difficult and hard, you know, assessments are tough and whatnot. But at the end, when they look back and they're successful and they can move on, and that was their goal, and I was, in some way, I played a small role in their success, that gives me great joy and pride and honor.
Yeah, that's really the sweet spot right there. We can have that magical moment of, you know, turning those light bulbs on and really seeing your students succeed. I think altruistically, that's what you want. That's what we want here at McGraw-Hill Education. And most certainly all of our audience members want that same thing too, which is great.
And you know, when they come back, and it, like this morning, I had a quick discussion with a student who came to my office and said that, you know, so my one of my relatives is in hospice, and I am going and visiting her, and I am understanding so much of what's going on with her now, and I'm applying my A&P to my understanding. See, right there, that's, to me, it made my day. So I would say that's sort of, you know, that's sort of a little bit of, you know, giving back that we get from the student really goes a long way.
Oh, yeah. Well, you get another high five for that one for sure, as you know. All right. Well, two last big questions here. What's your vision for the future of teaching A&P?
You know, I think we're at a point where we see tons and tons of emerging technology that are coming along. And it's really hard for, you know, faculty members to know them all or keep them all are deciding on even what to use if they're starting off, you know, first time. And even the ones that, you know, like, for example, I've been using stuff for a while, but it's still very difficult to know or have a comprehensive idea of what's out there and what could work potentially. So, you know, in a way, my vision of A&P is not just teaching through these lenses of, you know, a technology or this works the best or that works the best, is really looking at multiple technology if you need to, or a technology if you need to, but it's really customizing that technology to your need and students' need. That is the magic bullet. I think that is why, you know, I would say that is why educators should invest time in evaluating technology, and then not be afraid to try out few before moving on with one. And so what it allows me to think about is this big question of, can we create a best learning environment rather than best learning silos? Because our students are going to be diverse, and their needs are going to be diverse, and their backgrounds are going to be diverse.
Yeah, and I can see where that is only going to get more and more complicated as we progress here over the next 5 to really 20 years.
Yep, that's what I see.
Well, awesome. Kosh, I know our audience might be eager to find you somewhere, so how can people find you if they want to reach out to you?
Very easy. You can post my email on the podcast if you want to.
K.Dutta@une.edu. Oh, awesome. Yeah, I'll definitely do that for anyone listening. And certainly you can send me an email as well. That's James, JAMES.CONNELY@MHEducation. Kosh, you were an absolute delight today, and I know you and I are going to catch up again to go through some more details about the specifics of the award and how you used, you know, McGraw-Hill, Hulls, Human A&P, and Connect and all those things to really earn that award. On the behalf of all of us at McGraw-Hill Education and the teaching community, congratulations on that award. I know it was a lot of hard work, but you are just a fantastic educator, and really tip our hat to you for winning that award.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you for having me, and this was also a delightful conversation. I always enjoy talking to you, as you know. Both within the context of, you know, technology and education, and of course outside the perimeter of this discussion as well. So the other thing you can also do is that if, you know, the award link, I can send you that can be posted as well. But you know, if people want to get in touch with me, you can put that email on the site.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that. And for everyone listening, hopefully you guys got a lot out of this podcast. If you feel so inclined, we would love it if you did. Please provide a rating for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you consume your podcasts. Those ratings help us not only get better, but then they also help us, you know, make this podcast more accessible, you know, to other audience members. And if you want to pass that along to a friend in terms of listening to the Succeed in A&P podcast, we appreciate that too. This is Jim Conley. We're going to be signing off here, but we want to thank you all for listening. And also, if you have show ideas, certainly send those along to me. We'll get those on the list, and we'll make sure we get to those quickly. And we want to wish all of you just a happy rest of your day and hope you have a good one. Jim Conley and Kosh signing off.
Thank you.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.